is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. For the second time in 13 months, President Trump was impeached by the House of Representatives. This time, though, some Republicans joined in indicting their party's leader, voting alongside all the Democrats. So let's talk about it now and what happens next with University of Cincinnati Associate Professor of Political Science, Dr. David Niven. Welcome back, David.
My pleasure to be with you.
No shortage of things to talk about out of Washington anymore, but this is an impeachment that's taking place with just days remaining in this current president's term. We are hearing, you know, mixed reviews from the Senate, which is going to hear this case next. And I'm wondering, what does this mean when you take on the impeachment of a president who has already lost re-election and is in the final days of his administration?
I think what it means is the amount of revulsion to the events of last week is just stratospheric. You know, members believing that democracy was assaulted, members, you know, knowing that the Capitol building itself was assaulted and that they were threatened. You know, this is a very, very different and almost non-political response. You know, it's a very different thing. It's not about policy. It's not about, you know, decisions in the normal course of the job. This is about really, as even some Republican House members put it, this is about inciting violence.
And so this Senate trial is likely not to start, Senator Mitch McConnell said just yesterday, until Joe Biden becomes president. So this will be very unique, not just that it's the first time a president has been impeached twice, but that the conviction portion of the process constitutionally will take place while the president is no longer in office. So that's strange, but I'm wondering what your thoughts are about the impact that could have on the very early days of a Biden administration and his goals.
Well, it's certainly not anything that President-elect Biden would seek to have on the agenda in his first days in office. And it's clear that he's already sought assurances from senators that they'll essentially create a dual track, that the Senate will continue to process nominations, you know, so that they can confirm Biden's nominations for his cabinet and other offices, and then conduct the trial, you know, more or less in their spare time. And you know, historically speaking, you know, most of the impeachment trials we've had haven't been high-profile presidential impeachments. They've been for judges, and the Senate doesn't stop its entire business for these things. It works around the impeachment trial, and I think that's what we can expect here, that they'll essentially operate on two levels.
There is a possible consequence. I understand it might take a separate vote that would disqualify Donald Trump from ever holding office again. So what does that mean for the future of the Republican Party? I'm wondering if that might influence the way some of the Republican members of the Senate vote.
Well, it is a fascinating possibility. And we've seen some media coverage that Senator Mitch McConnell, the outgoing majority leader, has hinted that he might see this vote as a way of sort of cleaning house. Because in one vote, and that vote to disqualify from future office is only a majority vote. So if the Senate were to convict, the punishment of being disqualified from future office, that second vote on that issue is just a majority vote. You know, for the Republicans who worry about how Trump might shape their party going forward, they have a chance to make a clean break. And the other point that's important, you know, because folks are, you know, reasonably asking, why would you possibly impeach someone after they're out of office? And it's really that punishment that's the key to this whole discussion, because there are two punishments to impeachment. One basically is removal from office, and the other is disqualification from future office holding. And so it's that part that really makes it possible or plausible to impeach someone and hold the trial after they've been in office. And in fact, President Grant, Ulysses Grant's Secretary of War, was impeached. The trial was held after his Secretary of War left office. And the motivation that clearly ran through the Senate at the time was to get to the point where they'd vote on whether they wanted to disqualify him from future service.
We're talking with David Niven. He's a University of Cincinnati Associate Professor of Political Science, and we're discussing the upcoming impeachment trial as it moves to the United States Senate of President Donald Trump. So I'm wondering, because we've heard that Donald Trump is probably exploring a chance at going back to the White House in the 2024 election cycle, he's probably got the largest built-in base when those Republican primaries roll around. So, I mean, are there Republicans who would see an advantage other than Mitch McConnell of not having him come in and take that party's nomination again?
Well, I do think there's a decent number of Republicans who think that their job would be made easier without Donald Trump on the agenda every day. And I think there's a decent strain within the party that thinks Trump hurt Republicans in Georgia, that Republicans might have retained the Senate and certainly could have run a stronger campaign without the distraction of Trump. So you have that vein, and there's clearly some Republican senators like Mitt Romney who've been very open in their disapproval of Trump. But then you have the curious line to walk for the folks like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, who have spent so much time, you know, ingratiating themselves to Trump and Trump voters, who themselves personally would probably benefit from Trump being ineligible to seek office, but who can't possibly associate themselves with that movement because that would, you know, disqualify them in the eyes of a lot of the base voters.
And we did note that all of the local Congress members did not support this impeachment this time around, but there was a Republican from Ohio, Representative Anthony Gonzalez. He represents the 16th Congressional District in Northern Ohio, and he voted in favor of impeachment. Ohio, David, is strongly Trump country based on the results of the past two election cycles. What type of consequences could a congressman like Anthony Gonzalez face for the position he took here?
Well, that's part of what's really fascinating about this vote. There were 10 Republicans across the country in the House who voted to impeach Trump, and they come from literally all across the nation and from different political backgrounds. And they include Liz Cheney, the daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, who's in House Republican leadership, but she voted to impeach Trump. But for Anthony Gonzalez, you know, his is the kind of district, not only is it pro-Trump, but it's the kind of district that Trump has helped transform from a place where Democrats used to do well to a place where Republicans are dominating. But, you know, he just made a very basic argument that that the president was part of the violent effort and that the president had failed. In fact, he used the phrase abandoned his post, that the president had abandoned his post while the mob was assaulting the Capitol. And I think politically, it sets Gonzalez in an interesting place as a potential voice for redefining what the Republican Party will be going forward. And you know, he literally will stand alone among Ohio Republicans as being able to say, I drew a line and I can tell you what was wrong and what we need to do from here on out that would be right.
We'll note that Donald Trump won Ohio's 16th congressional district over Joe Biden in this past year's election, 57% to 42%. Donald Trump also defeated Hillary Clinton there in 2016, 56% to 40%. But what about the Democrats and their motivation, not just to punish Trump for what they do see as an illegal act of inciting this insurrection in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol? They probably don't want to face him again in a presidential election cycle either, though they were successful in 2020. They were not in 2016, and it was largely unsuspected that Donald Trump would beat Hillary Clinton, you know, 4 years ago. So what do you think the motivation is there for them?
I think the motivation is somewhat surprisingly, very little to do with Trump and a lot more to do with the bigger picture here, to say that we cannot tolerate the assault on elections. I really don't think this is ultimately about Trump so much, and House Democrats are very well aware he's going to be out of office in just a few days, but it's about when the next election takes place and the one after that and the one after that, that we don't have to go through this national nightmare of challenging elections and creating these fictional narratives about election outcomes. I think the House leadership is very well aware of how tenuous our post-election period has been. And this was an election where there's a 7 million vote margin. I mean, just imagine where we'd be right now if the entire election came down to one state. Imagine where we would be right now if the entire election came down, as it did in the year 2000, to one state separated by a few hundred votes. You know, does anyone believe that the process could have been worked out peaceably and lawfully, and given that it wasn't peaceful and lawful when there was a 7 million vote election?
It's been characterized as the big lie, which was obviously pushed by President Trump, that he won the election, that it was, quote, stolen, that there was, quote, fraud. But he was also bolstered in that argument by many members of Congress. And while we're talking about the 10 Republicans who voted to impeach him, 197 of them voted not to. I've got 30 seconds. What is the Republican Party now post-Trump?
I think that's the big question. What is the party? And, you know, for all the voices out there saying it's time for us to come together, well, it's going to start with Republicans saying we respect the outcome of elections.
David Niven is an associate professor of political science at the University of Cincinnati. We always appreciate when you come on. David, thank you for spending some time with us.
It's my pleasure.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. This theme music was composed by Rob Fetters. And you can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.